When you with the both of you were like, oh, my Cotopaxi is blue. I'm like, I have no idea what's happening.
What, Jim? You don't have a Cotopaxi that's blue?
I do not. Hey everybody, welcome back to the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, and tonight I am joined by Shelly and Shabby. Shelly, Shabby, how are things going in your various necks of the woods?
They're going lovely, minus this freakish cold snap again. I wish we could figure out what we're going to do, but otherwise dandy.
Okay, like in the upper 50s is not a cold snap.
Well, it is when you're cold-natured and have freakishly low blood pressure like me. I feel like, and granted, I love wintertime, but, you know. Yeah.
I just wish we didn't have
Brad
winter.
Prepares my, were not here.
That's where I was going with it. I need Brad to get rid prepares. Of these Brad Prepares so I can actually breathe again.
Uh-huh. My eyes are permanent. Like, I woke up Sunday after the match. My eyes, I could barely open. Like, they were so swollen, I could barely see. It was awful.
That is one of the glorious things about Chattanooga. If you haven't had allergies before, you will have them here.
Get them now. That's how you know that you have fully... Yeah. Come full circle as a Chattanoogan. You get your
You
get your Subaru, you come to a CFC match, you get allergies.
Yep.
And you might have some barbecue and moon pasta.
You sneeze all the time, you smell the chickens, and you watch soccer.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, halfway through the match Saturday. Woo, buddy.
Yeah. Chills. I swear, I would vote for anyone for mayor if their entire platform was, I'm going to get rid of the chicken plant. I would vote for anybody.
Yeah, but that would take away a lot of jobs, and we don't want to take away jobs from people. Well,
okay, It can move. I'm not saying
as long as it's on public transportation line, because that's how about 80% of their workers get there.
It can move to East Ridge.
Yeah, there you go. Right next to some developments that are going on.
It'll fit in perfectly next door to the new Twin Peaks they're building.
Oh my God, Twin Peaks.
I can't.
Okay, well, this is not what.
That's not what we're here about.
We digress. We did have an actual soccer game that we can talk about. Woo! And it was a friendly. It was a friendly. Now this is our, fourth or fifth.
I think we should really call it a frenemy, not a friendly, because it didn't quite feel
a frenemy. We already have frenemies. I don't know if they have reached the level of frenemyship. Is that a word?
I'm just saying based on the like how the players and their tantrums were, felt more like a frenemy match than a friendly match.
Okay. Well, so this is like our third or fourth. One, two, three, four. Our fifth.
Friendly.
So this is our tour through the men's soccer world has already made it through MLS, USL, championship, college. And now we welcomed our first USL League One team in to Findlay. We had the folks from One Knoxville SC, right? Sporting Club from Knoxville, just up the road down for a quote unquote friendly. So I'm going to ask you guys in a little bit about the style of play and what your takeaways are, but let's start off with the lineup. Were there any surprises for y'all? We had Antoine in goal. We had Prepelita.
Yeah.
Prepelita.
Yeah.
Prepelica and Bowers as the center back pair with Perez at the other fullback. Dixon at the six, McGrath and Alvarenga, other midfield, Mumu, Naglestad, and Taylor up top.
Gray.
So we did have Taylor some Gray. Changes. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did have a couple of changes. We had we've had our first showing of that center back pairing, which I think will end up being our starting center backs.
Yeah, I think you're right on point there.
Yep. So stays in at is he at right back? He's at right back, I believe. With Perez at left back. So anything we had some new folks who played. We had Mumu who started at right wing, so he has played in the midfield. So he's a little, so we had four or five guys that hadn't really played before or are playing in new places. Any surprises for you?
Not necessarily with the starting lineup. I will say in the second half, I don't know if anyone else picked up, we had some other trialists that haven't really been mentioned that were on the field.
Mm-hmm. We had several. We had,
I didn't know if anyone else had picked up on that. Yeah, I've got, well, I know one of them, number 17, his name was Daniel. I don't know what his last name was, but right, he was our brunette man bun because it rivaled Knoxville's blonde man bun.
Well, I know that we had Antonini on the roster. Yeah, we had Antonini, Paolucci, mm-hmm. Geisler, and El Daly.
Yeah. And Marriott. We'll talk about Marriott because Marriott was on the receiving end. Marriott was on the receiving end of a lovely tackle that I'm sure we'll talk about at some point.
Yeah.
So then Burke came in. I know. Ale came in.
Fabian came in.
I don't know. So we had a lot of subs. A lot of people played in the second half, and some trialists came in. And Antonini, I believe, is the player you're talking about, who is the forward with the bun. Not to be confused with their dime store Holland that they had up top. So that was the lineup we had. Well, I can't tell you anything about one Knox's lineup other than ponytail or up top because
they didn't have numbers.
Well, not on their shirts.
Yes, they did. Yeah, it took me about 30 minutes into the first half, and then I realized from 109, I was looking down, I was like, wait a minute, in the center of the chest, in about 18-point font, they have their numbers, because it was whenever they were doing a sub, I'm like, and the sub for not one Knox had numbers. I was like, where are they just giving up, like, choose your own adventure, are you just making up a number and saying this is what you are? And then it dawned on me, I was like, wait a minute, one of the guys came off, and I noticed right in the middle of the chest, from anyone's other's perspective, wouldn't have been able to see it. But whenever the guy got to the bench, that's when I noticed that they were like in 18 points.
Oh, okay.
So they were there, just not visible.
Can't see.
Yeah, I guess they weren't wearing a normal kit.
I think that might be their warm-ups.
Yeah, they were wearing warm-ups. And I think Patrick said that they would be wearing them last week.
Yes.
Because I don't believe they've done any kit reveals or anything like that. Mm-mm. So, which, we haven't either outside of the sky blue owner's jersey.
Mm-hmm. We're just going to be playing in long sleeve jerseys all summer long.
Yeah, you kind of joke about that. I was talking with David and there have been some issues with some of the other kits. And he was like, yeah, we thought about making or having these be our home kit. And I'm like, you're going to have to come up with the short sleeve version. He's like, yeah,
don't have to come up with the short sleeve version. Just really pull into our Southern roots and cut off the, sleeves. Like Larry the Cable Guy, and might as well just have some like fake looking jorts that we're wearing with them. We're good.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
We'll keep it classy up in here.
Yeah. This is our new stylish kit.
Humble jorts and the tie dye. No, I think that they would all die of heat exhaustion or get heat stroke if they played in a long sleeve shirt in the middle of the summer.
it's not healthy.
So I guess the other thing I want. So what did y'all think about the crowd?
It was actually a decent sized crowd.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad. I was a little worried because it was marathon weekend, and the marathon was on Sunday, but with road closures and the parking was a little bit weird right at the beginning because they were doing that. They were finishing up the 5K and the 1 mile fun run around the time we were tailgating. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit nervous that that might impact it. But honestly, for a random Saturday, and this isn't like a high profile friendly like Atlanta United was. I mean, it was a decent crowd. I don't know what the final numbers were, but it was a pretty decent crowd. I'm telling you that the taco truck was hopping. Every time I looked over, they were just, which I mean, don't get me wrong, the tacos are delicious. So, you know. But yeah, I mean, I thought the crowd was pretty good. What about you?
I had some tacos. I was a little disappointed just because of how nice it did. Well, I didn't ask. I mean, I didn't ask this time because I don't want to harass them too much. But I was a little disappointed that, I mean, I was hoping that we'd get above 3 and close to 4. Because it was such a nice day. It was not hot.
It was gorgeous. It
was perfect. And so, you know, I was a little disappointed, but I think, I was worried about 10 minutes before kickoff. I was like, ooh, this is not great. And then about 20 minutes in.
The cab definitely rolled in late.
Yeah. About 20 minutes in, I looked around and I was like, and I'm also, like I said, I'm eight rows from the field. So there's a lot of people behind me. And so I wasn't paying attention. I turned around and I'm like, oh, this filled in pretty nicely. So, it was a nice enough crowd. I was hoping for over 3. I think the announce was a little like 25, 26, something like that.
Okay, well, that was what I was wondering because I never heard the announcement. And I saw several people on social after the match asking the same thing. Because normally I'm pretty good about hearing it and remembering what they said. So that's really...
Yeah, I think they announced it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they did. I think it was 2,500, I believe. I don't know, in change, something like that.
Well,
so,
well,
not,
I will
not
say
bad.
We had some first timers there. I can tell you that much because for our two listeners who might not know, if you were on a skillet curling team, CSC so nicely donated 2 tickets or 1 ticket per person. So each team had 5 tickets or 4 if you only had 4 people on your team to the match. And actually a few of the guys from one of the teams that I know just from doing skillet curling, they were there. It was their first time in a match and they loved it. They said that they would be back. So
great.
They actually stopped by a little bit during the tailgate. So, I mean, I did see some people that I haven't seen before and some that said it was their first time. So that made me feel pretty good.
Yay. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I like hearing that. Yeah, they just, and it's not that they don't like soccer, it's just that they had never had a chance to come to one yet. So I was like, well, get that season
awesome.
Pass. Go buy some.
Awesome.
Yeah,
well, right. we didn't, yes, and buy annual pass and some merch. We didn't have to wait too long for some excitement. The 8th or 9th minute that we had really probably the best chance of the day. Was a little, Taylor put a little chip in to Naglestad, who caught it on the half volley and put it a shot in. Actually, it was a nice shot and a really good save. I don't know if y'all noticed on the follow through, Naglestad not only hit the soccer ball, but he also caught 2 balls that were attached to 1 Knoxville player.
He did not see that.
Oh my god!
Somehow
you gotta go watch
that one.
I missed it live. I've been watching. I was watching the game back, and he swings, and he's on the follow through. It's it was a direct hit, and
that's why the guy was on the ground.
The guy goes down.
That makes a lot of sense, knowing that. Okay.
Oh yeah.
That makes a lot.
Yeah,
of sense.
It was a direct shot, and it was a really good save. They put it out for a corner. And then on the corner are Alex McGrath.
Yep.
You know, Olympico. I mean, he's going to do this once a season. Maybe he'll do some more. This is his second one. He did one in a Maryland game last year. And then, so I wasn't really sure what had happened. I thought it was an own goal because one of Knoxville's players got up and I thought had got ahead to it, but I can't tell. I mean, it doesn't look like to me anybody makes contact. So it's, you know, Alex's goal right from the corner. At that point, I'm like, hey, let's just, let's keep this going and score a couple more. I was, the first couple of minutes were really good for us. I don't know what you guys thought about that goal in the opening 10 or 15 minutes.
I thought the opening was really strong, but I was just confused by how aggressive the play was.
Yeah.
Even from the beginning.
Yeah, I was not expecting a friendly to be this aggressive and this pitchy. I mean, I really was expecting at one point just to have a fight. And, I mean, which not that it hasn't happened before in a match, but I honestly, the way and not just on one side. I mean, it's just way aggressive. Like, I get it, like, stuff to prove, you know, I mean, but honestly, it's not worth it to get an injury or something bad to happen when you haven't even started your regular season. Just saying, right. Just not worth it.
Yeah. Patrick had talked about how they played, you know, they played like, three at the back, and they pressed a whole lot. They were very aggressive in the press. So they really didn't do that much. They came out in a different formation. They did press us a little bit. But really not a real high energy counter press, but they did press a little bit. They did put some pressure, especially whenever the ball went into Dixon, they were applying pressure in our midfield. I thought we did really well to get out. But they did really break up play, and not only breaking up play through numbers, but breaking up play by just tactical fouling, going through the back of players. You know, I talked to one of the Knoxville fans was like, y'all, you know, that say he said that he thought CFC players were going down pretty easily. And I'm like, dude, I mean, from what I see, there was a lot of aggressive play coming through the back of the CFC players. I think we were a little, surprised by the physicality, it really felt like this was the first time Knoxville played in front of fans.
Yes.
And do you guys think that played into how they were playing?
Maybe a little bit, because I mean, I don't know. I know Shabby had gone to take X to his soccer match, but I think maybe a little bit. I say this because whenever we went in to set up TIFO, you know, obviously both teams are generally out there, or at least, you know, kind of getting stuff set up ready for whenever they can actually start their warmups.
Right.
And there were we helped some of the Knoxville people bring in like their stuff to, like, you know, 'cause they hung up a couple of banners and everything too. And a lot of the players came over and were talking to the fans and things like that. And so maybe a little bit, because obviously it's not that fans don't interact or players don't interact with fans and other teams, but that's very much like a big part of what makes CFC like a CFC centric thing, is that we are so in tune and in touch with our players during the matches and after the matches and things like that. So I kind of feel like maybe so. And even like the coaching staff over here, they were really jazzed about being there, really excited to actually be in front of fans, and that they had fans traveling. So I feel like probably that had a little bit, because obviously if you haven't been able to play in front of fans before, even though it is a friendly, how great it would be to like get really pumped for the season by be like, hey, here's what we got. Like, look, we took one up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Shabby, what did you see when you were there?
So now that I hear you say that Naglestad accidentally kicked the other guy in the nads and he went down or that early on, it kind of makes me wonder, because I wonder if maybe they thought that was deliberate, or they didn't feel like that got treated right. And because after that, like, I mean, after that first goal, it just felt like they were angry about everything.
Yeah.
But they came out hot though. I mean, that first yellow card was literally in the first minute of the match.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't. So, they really didn't react to that kick. I don't think they thought that was intentional. I think that was just a follow through. But you're right.
Okay.
I mean, that I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think they were just.
I don't know what they were so angry about though, because they were playing like they were angry. It didn't feel like playing because they had something to prove. It felt like playing like you have something to prove, like you got a chip on your shoulder.
Exactly.
It didn't feel like playing like you wanted to prove your team. That
or
wasn't
like
what
the
it
underdog
felt like.
Or something.
It felt like they were mad about something. I really don't understand, but it was such a strange vibe. And the way you saw the play happen, it was really like, you know, it was like opposing gangs, like playing street ball.
Yeah.
No, like that's how it felt. Like when you look at it, it was like, and they went for anything. Some of these fouls were blatant and were ugly. Mm-hmm. Like there were sliding tackles that are absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah.
There was like some of the grabbing, like, I mean, like I'm grabbing your hair as I'm grabbing your shirt. Like mm-hmm. there was, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's like are we playing to the death now? Is like the first, like how many people can we take down?
Yeah, I don't remember when this happened, but I think our players started to get a little, I mean,
after a while they got upset. By the second half, they couldn't take it anymore.
So I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was one play where their forward was taking the ball. He was out wide. And Toley just absolutely went through him,
like a wrecking ball.
Yes, I mean, absolutely trucked him, and it was intentional. And I was, and it really probably deserved a card. He didn't get one, but because it was clear that. At that point,
everyone was like, screw it. Clearly, no holds barred. This is Thunder.
Yeah. Well, not everything was getting called. So it's like, well, you know what? Even if we get a red card, not like it's going to matter for
you. But it was really weird. It was both. A lot of things were getting called and nothing was getting called. There were a lot of yellows, but the game was still cagey and a little out of control. Like normally.
And the massive amounts of time when we're all like, why are we not playing? And like, yeah. Right. They were having,
and then
like,
are y'all taking complain? She like, here's a yellow card for the coach too.
Yeah. I know. Exactly. Yeah. I know. Like, are y'all just down there having tea while we're waiting to see what's going on? Because it got really confusing after a while as to why we were even stopped.
Yeah, well, I think you guys are talking about the red, like what happened around the red card in the 15th. Oh,
that was much later. But
well, yeah, no, not just that. There was like before the red card, there were times where we should have already
handing out yellow cards, like they were Times Square flyers.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
It was so peculiar. It's like, okay, well, no wonder we have like 10 and 12 minutes of stoppage time because of all of these shenanigans.
Well,
and
see,
the
no,
10 minutes of stoppage time was an underestimate by at least 5 minutes by my clock.
Yeah.
But it was also probably a little unnecessary. I think, I don't know if you guys saw, but when it went up at 10 minutes, I think both coaches looked at each other and just kind of like shrugged. Like,
well, I know, exactly.
Both
honestly,
of them were like, are you kidding me?
Everybody wanted this match to be over.
Well, and that's the thing is during a friendly, I really just think they should just get rid of, if you're going to do like a literally like a full 90 minute friendly and it's not just like, you know, some scrimmages or whatever, just don't even bother with the stoppage time. Just don't.
Right.
Honestly,
no. We want to make sure these refs get every minute that they can possibly be paid for. We
there we go. Well, at least we pay our refs, Shabby.
we do. So we did. There was that yellow card. I mean, excuse me, the red card that did come out. And do either of you know what the red card was for? Does anyone know what happened? I mean, I'm assuming it was because
the player
talked himself into one.
Yeah,
talked himself into it.
Yes.
Yeah. There was a bunch of, so that was when we had that little bit of argy bargy and they were pushing and complaining and like it was going back and forth. And then I think they didn't agree with the corner kick and that player basically mouthed himself into a red card. He probably said something he shouldn't have that we couldn't hear.
Yes, yeah. I think, and honestly, it probably was smart because if it hadn't been a red card, I'm pretty sure that's when we would have seen a fight break out.
Only reason I think that all of that happened is because they were so frustrated that they didn't get that goal.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm not entirely sure. Like, I haven't had a chance to rewatch it, but like, I don't know if it was any more offside than any of the other play we saw the whole match.
Exactly. Have you looked, Jim? Because I haven't had a chance to look back and see either.
No, I haven't looked. I haven't looked to see if it was offside. I couldn't tell. I mean, there was no way that you could tell. It was really close. I mean, the angle from the fans' perspective, it would be really hard. But I haven't. I don't remember when.
It's the
50th
minute.
The 50th minute?
The 50th minute where Knoxville finally got the ball back, but it was offside. So,
all right. So I'll see if I can find it, because I've got the video right up, and I can take a look. But yeah, I mean, then there was this long pause that I think,
that was,
you know,
so weird.
We
that
talked
so weird.
We talked before. And if you haven't listened to the 109 guys, they talk a little bit about this. I don't know that we want to get into it. I mean, Matt was clearly mad. I think a lot of people were upset about some treatment of some staff. And, so that extended it because the guy didn't want to leave the field. The two coaches started talking to one another. And that's when I was like, I was confused. I wasn't sure that I saw a red. I thought I saw a red card, but then I was like, wait a minute, was that just a yellow? And cause I thought I saw her go to her back pocket. And then I didn't notice that the player left the field, but then the coaches were talking and it was just really strange. Nothing was ever really announced. I thought it was a red and the coaches had talked to determine that to stay 11v11, which I think would have made sense because it's a friendly, whatever, you know, whatever. But it seems like, I guess that was more related to their players staying on the bench and not going to the locker room. What did you see from 109?
Oh, about him not leaving? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Why did that take so long?
Well, the thing is, like, and we've talked about this a little bit prior to recording, is that when it's a friendly, you know, both teams can agree that if you get a red card, they can stay. Because, I mean, that's not going to happen in your regular league play. And I'm thinking, I don't know if they, maybe one Knox thought that they had already decided that was the case, that he could stay, or if it wasn't or not. But I think that they also were still caught up in the, why did you even give me a red card? Because let's just be honest, most players, if they're getting it for mouthing off, don't think they deserve to get it for mouthing off. they might come to their senses later. But I think that was a lot of it too, is that then you had the coaches yelling and you had fans yelling because they knew that he should be getting off the pitch, but he wasn't. So it just was like a whole bunch of like commotion. Because then also it's hard to hear. We can hear some things a little bit in 109, but the drums were going pretty loud too. So I'm just going based on sight.
From where I was up in the middle of 208, like, I couldn't tell. I literally couldn't tell. It just looked like they were standing around on the field.
Yeah.
But they weren't really conferencing. What it looked like was somebody was delaying start of play, like, because the guy was just standing there, like, waiting to kick the ball. And that's what it looked like from up there, because we couldn't see any of that. And in fact, it's so funny because I never saw the red card. It was never announced. And I never even noticed that they went down 10. Like, the game looked exactly the same.
Constantly
stop and start. And at that point, we were substituting guys left and right. Like,
Subs than I've ever seen us do in my life.
Wild.
Yeah.
It really
so
was.
I will say I pulled the video to the 50th minute, and it does look like he's off. It's really hard to tell because we have a player that's right next to him, and so it's really, really difficult to see. I can't see their feet and I can't see what yard line they're on. You know, this is one time when, like, the football lines can help. But I really can't tell. He does look offside at the moment of the free kick. So I would probably, you know, at, when it's like that, and it's that close, I think you got to maybe give it to, because the ref is, it's a free kick. So the ref is probably well positioned to see that.
Yeah.
So it does look a little off. I think this is the type of thing that one of my takeaways, and if you look at Jed did some XG and some shot analysis, they had a lot of shots inside our penalty box. And I think a lot of those were headers. They had a lot of crosses. We still have got work to do in the air. The goal that was called back was a pretty much a free header, ran in between two players. And there were other times when there were guys just unmarked inside the 6-yard box. So I think we've got some work to do there in the air still. But, you know, we've got two new center backs. They haven't played together before. That's going to take a little while. That's what preseason's for, is to work through some of those things. But, Shabby, it's funny you mentioned that you didn't notice, because I really thought what happened where the two coaches got together and agreed to stay 11v11, and we stayed 11v11. I never stopped to count the players that were on the field. I just assumed they agreed 11v11, and I didn't notice. And I do think, and if you look at Jed's XG, I think there's something to be talked about here, because from the moment the red card happens all the way until like the really the end of the match, one Knoxville was probably the better of the two sides. I mean, I don't know if it was because of we were already up 1-0 and we were deciding because we had some trial lists and we were doing things differently that we were going to sit back a little bit and just absorb pressure. I don't know if you guys watched the post-match interviews with the players and coaches?
Some of them. If you haven't watched the pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. If you haven't watched them, go watch.
I haven't. They're really cool.
Yeah. I go watch Alex's interview is really good. And he even mentions that, you know, when you go down, when the opposition goes down to 10, it can be a little strange to play against. And he felt like we may have backed off a little bit too much, that we kind of went into a defensive shell a little bit too much. And it looks that way because in the second half,
a few saves and goal that were huge there at the end.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it really was one Knoxville had the better, much more chances, many more. I can't speak English.
I don't know. But at that point, we substituted basically the entire team. It was all new guys out.
Well, that's
there,
true. So. I mean, Second halves of friendlies are interesting because, you know, you're playing with typically with a lot of trialists and a lot of guys off the bench. So and I will say I liked Antonini. He's the forward that came in. He's tall. It looks like he could give us. He didn't have a whole lot in the game. Didn't really get a chance to do much. But there were times when he gave us an outlet. He held the ball up okay. I think it'd be nice to have a very tall center forward that we could play off of as a change of pace. If if Marcus needs a break, or if what we're doing, it's late in the game, we need a goal, and we want to change the way we play. I think it'd be interesting to have him off the bench. The foul on Marriott. I don't know. You guys were talking about how physical it got.
Oh my gosh. That was the sliding tackle one that was just nasty.
Yeah, it was. It was. And I was a little surprised that it didn't bring out a red. I think in a normal game, maybe if that first red hadn't happened, maybe that's a red. It's definitely what I would call orange. It is. There's no doubt it's an orange card. I mean, because it's more than a yellow. I get some people could argue that it's not a red. So, and I went back and watched it again. And I put a video up on Twitter where, I slowed it down and you could see it. The only thing that saves him is he does not connect with his front foot. But when he slides in, he misses him. And if he had connected, I don't know if Marriott would have walked off the field by himself.
Right.
He catches him with like a scissor action afterwards, but he misses the front foot, catches him with his trailing leg. It was not great, especially for a friendly.
No.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let's talk about something positive. You know who did impress me? I didn't know what to expect with Jean-Antoine in goal.
I know, he looked good.
I really liked what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're not used to having a goalkeeper that's quite so big and physical.
Yeah, exactly. He's got one heck of a vertical, too.
He did make some good saves.
The thing is, too, a lot of times it's hard to find a goalie that could be that tall with such a large wingspan of blocking that also is so quick on their feet. And he's pretty good on his feet, too. Like, I was impressed with what I saw. And this was a good game to really see him in action since, again, it was so physical.
Yeah. I think he was the Golden Glove winner for a reason.
Oh, I mean, that's fair. That is fair.
Anything else that you wanted to kind of take away from the game? It's a 1-0 win. We won a game where we probably were slightly second best, played a game against a team that was very physical and was tall, good in the air. A little Starzy, maybe. So I thought it was, and it was a good afternoon. Great weather, good crowd. Good time to be out and watch CFC. You guys have any takeaways from the game?
I'll be okay if I don't see them play again for a while. I really don't. You just left such a bad taste in my mouth.
I'm glad that we did not have any type of horrible injuries, because honestly, I was expecting it. So I'm glad for that. I mean, I was glad to see a lot more trialists and things like that. I'm glad we got to see some more trialists in the second half. I mean, we know from last season that Rod doesn't do a ton of subbing even in our regular league play. So it was kind of nice to get some, and that's kind of why you have Fred Lisa, so that you can cycle some people in and out and things like that. But it was good to actually see some players that we either have seen mentioned or just haven't seen. And obviously the closed door match in Birmingham, it's hard to see anything either, but I did like that. I do think, again, and part of this is because we do still have trialists and slots to fill, so it's not that shocking. I do think we have some stuff to work on in the middle, like we've talked about, but I think that over the next couple of friendlies we have left, as we're trying to like really firm up things to our opening day, I mean, I think we're getting there. I think there's some more. It's kind of hard to have the team feel fully cohesive when you still don't have your fully signed roster, you know? I mean, it's just hard. But I'm not in any way like worried about the season going forward. I mean, I feel pretty good. I mean, we have healthy players. So I'm not as unsure and worried as I was going into whenever the players first arrived and tryouts, thinking, oh, we have to get goalies and we have a very new team and things like that. So I'm not feeling any of that hesitation right now. I'll just be very interested to see between last Saturday's match, and then obviously, you know, the coaching staff has gone back and looked at the game tape and they're working on things during training. So I think between last Saturday's match and then the friendlies we have, the next two that we have coming up, I'm very curious to see how that opening day lineup's going to be. Like, see where we're at and see what trialists make it from then. Because obviously there's things that we just don't see going on during, you know, during the practices during the week. So I'm just curious to see how – I really would love to know how Friday's match impacted Monday's training. I'm just really curious.
Yeah. Yeah, so we do have two more Beeman United this weekend. It's closed, so we will not be able to see the boys play then. And then then the week after that, Huntsville City, we will complete our tour of men's soccer in the United States with a team coming to us from MLS Next Pro. Huntsville City coming in. This is for annual pass holders only, so if you don't have your annual pass, get out there and get it. Shabby, did you have any last? I forgot. Did you have any last things you wanted to say about the match?
Have the Knoxville players come and gotten you, Shabby? It's like, where'd Shabby go? Oh
no, yeah, I'm talking away to myself over here, but I had muted myself. Was I just talking a second ago? Yeah. Yep. Sorry. So I didn't want to cough, and then I forgot to unmute myself. So okay. So no, I don't have anything more I want to say about the match. But you talking about the upcoming friendlies had something I wanted to say, and that's that I'm really bummed about the fact that the Beeman United match is
a closed door match,
because I feel like that's really good practice for whomever we're going to play for the Open Cup, because there's a really good chance that it's going to be Beeman United that we play.
Yeah, there is a chance. Yeah, it's going to be either them or the Menace from Des Moines. Yep. Des Moines. And Des Moines. So the coach for One Knoxville used to be the Des Moines Menace coach.
Yes.
Back in the couple of years ago. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that probably doesn't really mean anything, but, you know, anyway, that's just trivia for you folks out there. So we really don't have any team news. I think the coach said that there's a chance that we'll have a couple of signings. What's funny?
No, I'm just laughing because in today's neutral NISA news, there's no news.
There's nothing.
Yeah. I know one day we're going to have some neutral NISA news to really report on. But no, yeah, I mean, we have two friendlies. Yeah, we have two friendlies left.
Yep. And then after that, a couple of weeks to get ready for that first match in April 1st with the Detroit Gold Star, whatever they're called.
Which will be interesting because they have our former goalie. So our goalie will be against former players. They do. Yeah. Well, and they have some of our former players.
And well, they have some of our former players. Yep. It should be interesting. But, I think we're getting, we saw with One Knoxville, I think we're going to see with Beeman and then Huntsville City, we're getting to those games right now where teams are at or a little below our level before we had played championship and MLS teams. So we're getting to see the guys now kind of in matches that may look a little more like what the talent and the what they're going to see when we get into NISA play. So the Huntsville City game should really be telling kind of where the coaches are with players and where the starting lineup is. I'm really excited for that Huntsville City game. I would like to see the Beeman United. I wish it was open, but it's not. So we'll have to wait a couple of weeks to see the boys again. Before we go,
Shabby. They won't even be streamed, right? I mean, because it's at home, but they're not even streaming it or anything. You could just go and saunter over and peer through the gates like someone that got locked out of a concert. Mm-hmm. you do have that.
Yeah,
option.
We could. Yeah. I can set up a tripod and do a Facebook Live kind of old school Ellavision.
An Ellavision, Jimavision. We'll do some Jimavision.
Yeah.
Yeah, and y'all are gonna have to tell me about 11. That. Yeah, that I won't be here on the 18th, so y'all are gonna have to give me some good updates. I'm gonna follow it as much as I can while I'm at my music festival, but it's gonna be a little bit difficult.
Yes. I mean, I know. Just so much travel, so little time.
We're gonna be getting you on the road for some CFC matches this summer, Jim. It's gonna happen.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah. I'm sure we're excited about Savannah. We like Savannah, so we're excited about that. And maybe Orlando. We'll have to see.
If we do Orlando, we're going to Harry Potter World.
Heck yeah, I'm in.
We're going to Gatorland. I thought we're going to Gatorland.
Well, we're gonna go to Gatorland as well, but we're also gonna go to Harry Potter World.
Okay. Because I wanna see you guys. I wanna see y'all wrestle a gator.
I'll have to dig it up. I do have a picture of me holding a baby alligator whenever I was at a gator farm in Louisiana. Do have that.
Well, I'm sure that it doesn't hold a candle to Gatorland. So
I feel like I'm definitely missing out a chunk of life by not having this.
Yep. Yep. Google it. It's fabulous. It's every bit as fabulous from the current website as it was when we went several years ago. So but anyway, what Shelly, what is making you smile this week as we go into a new week of CFCdom. What's making you smile?
CFCdom. Well, I am actually very happy that as of Friday, so that'd be tomorrow, I've got one more work day after Friday until I'm on vacation. Full on vacation. I mean, not that my Finland trip wasn't vacation, because it was, but I also was like really engrossed in doing stuff with the nonprofit. So it wasn't like, going and chilling or whatever. So I'll get to see some friends that I haven't seen since last July because they live in Tampa full time, and going to see one of my favorite musical acts in concert while I'm there. So I'm excited to actually have some like 4 or 5 days off of work where it's actually like I'm off of work, not having to work while I'm on the trip. So that's making me very excited and making me smile because I need some downtime with this crazy and hectic of a work year and a half that I've been having. So. Mm-hmm. That's making me smile very largely.
Shabby, what's making you smile?
I had a dear friend come up and visit yesterday, stay the night. We hung out and worked together today. She's a coworker friend of mine. And so I got to spend the day just filling my cup with fellowship. It was wonderful.
That's awesome. I haven't watched this yet, but I'm excited for it. So I'm just going to use this as making me smile. There's a new season of The Mandalorian, so I don't know if anybody else has watched it yet.
Yes,
but
there
I'm
is.
Excited
I have not watched
watch
it.
I have watched yep. it.
Oh.
Okay, hush. No spoilers.
I'm not
no going to
say anything. No spoilers. So, nope, I know better.
So that's what's making me smile. I'm going to sit down maybe tonight and start watching a little bit. And then if you like college basketball, next week, what's going to make you smile is there's going to be nonstop basketball for 4 days straight from Thursday to Sunday.
Oh, no, wait, March Madness, right?
Yeah, March Madness.
Yes.
But, but wait. While we're talking about funny things that make you smile, hopefully I'm not the only one that waited 40 years for History of the World Part 2. And is anybody else watching that?
Oh, I'm going to start it tomorrow. I am very excited for it.
It is silly and everything that it should be.
Oh, good to know. Because when I saw the previews, I got really excited. So, yeah, good to know.
Right. I mean, not every bit is funny, right? Like you've got it ebbs and flows. But just like, you know, it's like what you would expect, right? You have moments of brilliance and moments of just stupidity and moments of I shouldn't be laughing at this, but I'm laughing.
Okay. All right.
Cool. Well, Shabby, where can folks find you on the interweb?
Hit me up on Twitter at Shabby Bell, SHABYBELLE.
And Shelly, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ShellyAirs82.
All right, y'all. You can find me at Chattagooner on the Twitter. And until we see you again in a couple of weeks for the Huntsville City CFC game, open to annual pass holders only, go CFC.
Go Blues.
Shuffle, little shake, off the episode, I'm the prospect.